Then we will move on to the offenders caseload here today. We're going to go out of order here and start with Mr. David Owens. He's represented by counsel. Mr. Owens? Both of you please come forward here. Counselor, I don't need to swear you in, but Mr. Owens, in case you testify, Mr. Morris, we're going to need you to be sworn in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Please let the record reflect Mr. Owens is present and Officer Mike Morris is present as well. Counselor, let me turn this over to Mr. Hull for a minute here to set the stage. Mr. Owens has been here before.
That's
correct. He's returned because?
Mr. Owens appealed the commission's decision that was reached in January of 2016 to revoke his licenses and privileges for a period of 1 year. He appealed to the Isle of Wight County Circuit Court, and the case was heard was about 2 weeks ago or so. And the court found that there was a mistake in the record where some of the commission members were under the impression that Mr. Owens had pleaded guilty to the offenses, or the one offense, actually, the taking oysters out of season that was at issue, when in fact he had pled no contest. So the court directed that the case be remanded to the commission for its reconsideration of the length of the revocation period in light of the plea that Mr. Owens entered. Just for the commission's edification, the difference between the two pleas, a plea of guilty is an acknowledgement that the person actually engaged in the activity and the activity is illegal, whereas a plea of no contest is simply, they don't acknowledge guilt, but they do acknowledge that the evidence is sufficient for a finding of guilt, and they don't contest the evidence that the Commonwealth has. If anybody has any questions about the difference, then by all means, I can answer them, or I'm sure Mr. Crook, Mr. Owens' counsel, will be happy to address those as well. And I believe the way we're going to do this is to make sure the commission has an understanding of what the case is. We're going to have Officer Morris come and present the commission's case again just as a refresher, and then allow Mr. Crook and Mr. Owens to present whatever testimony they wish to do. And we'll ask you to either affirm your decision to revoke for a year or to modify it to lower the revocation period.
Mr. Crook, does that all sound acceptable to you?
I didn't think Morris was needed.
Well, I think it's just
the transcript, we had the record, we had the prior hearing. We can't really add to that in any way.
Right. Would you be willing to stipulate that the prior testimony is still applicable with this particular rehearing?
Yes, sir. I have it in front of me.
Okay.
Then that's I think that's perfectly acceptable, Mr. Morris. Appreciate you coming in here. If you'd just stand by in case there are further questions, that would be great. Mr. Crook, how about I turn it over to you?
Thank you very much.
Could you say your name, sir?
Crook. C-R-O-O-K.
What's
Thank
your
you.
Whole name?
Henry Woodrow.
Thank you.
Well, I'm a commissioner named Bull, so.
I thought about that. But attorneys are not Bull. Even if they're crooks. You got me going. Yeah.
Feel free.
Okay. I'm short. This thing's flocking me off, so I can't even see Matt. But appreciate your hearing us. This matter, you heard it before, and you heard it rather extensively, and the commissioners questioned the officer and also Mr. Owens. You did, a pretty thorough job of it. But the beginning of it, when the officer recited the facts to you before you actually started your hearing, or at the beginning of your hearing, he stated, and that's on transcript page 25, that the defendant, Mr. Owens, entered a plea of guilty for taking oysters out of season. And from that point on, the transcript shows Chairman Bull says, well, why did you plead guilty? page 26, and then later Chairman Bull again questions about the fact that despite all these protestations by Mr. Owen, that he still pled guilty. And the whole, of course, the judge read that, and we argued that, and he did not plead guilty. It's hard really to understand, even for lawyers, to understand nolo contendere or no contest, nolo contendere being the Latin term. What that is a result of a compromise. The evidence is viewed and the charges and what may happen, what may be proven. And so the advice to the client is you can plead guilty and plead nolo contendere and we'll accept this plea agreement. Or you don't have to accept the plea agreement. Now, what I advise, Mr. Owen, I advise any client never to plead guilty if you're not guilty. Never. I don't care what the plea agreement is. Plead nolo contendere, which says, I'm accepting this plea agreement, but I'm not guilty. That's what it is in layman's terms. And Mr. Owens did that, but he was confused, and he didn't advise the commission. He didn't have an attorney here to represent him. And so what we're asking, but the judge saw that right away, and he was after Mr. Hull on it.
Yep.
And if you know that judge, he gets after you.
Sorry.
So anyway, the point is that the judge is not asking you to hear this de novo. It's simply look at the transcript and look at the decision, and in the light of the fact that it was not a guilty plea, it was a nolo contendere. And you may say, well, it makes any difference. It makes a difference when the officer says it and laying out the facts, and then the commission members refer to it repeatedly. Obviously, it made a difference. And so, for that reason, we're here. Mr. Owens, his suspension was a year, and it's been 9 months. I'll say what takes a long judicial process takes a long time, plus the problems we had with judge recusing himself and changing the venue. But we finally got it heard, and we're finally back here. And we appreciate your hearing us. And I don't think this decision is going to set a precedent of any kind. But I do ask you to consider the fact that this man did not feel he was guilty. The evidence was, well, you could find guilt or not. In fact, you practically retried it here. You heard the evidence again. And so we would ask you to consider, and it's within your authority to do so, to terminate the suspension and let this man be back to work. Can we answer any questions?
Other questions from the commission? Okay, I don't think there are any questions. It's very ably done. You've been a very effective counsel for your client, Mr. Crook.
Thank you.
Well, let's start a discussion here and decide
I guess
path forward.
I have just a question of our counsel. Mm-hmm. The ruling from the court says guilty here. Now,
yeah, that's not an order. That's just an entry in the system. I guess we've mistakenly entered it into our system as a guilty thing. But he was convicted based on his plea, but the plea was a no contest plea, not a guilty plea, if that makes any sense.
There was a copy of the conviction order in the register.
And it's in the packet as well. So just for everyone's information, you go to court, and I'm sure almost everybody knows this. You go to court, the judge asks you, how do you plead? And you can plead guilty, you can plead no contest, or you can plead not guilty. And depending on what your plea is, you have a trial. If it's not guilty, if it's a nolo or a guilty plea, and especially if there's a plea agreement with one of those, then the judge usually just hears a recitation of the evidence and enters a conviction at that point.
And there were three cases, but this is the only man who pled nolo contendere. The others pled guilty.
Right. And so if you you may remember these cases. They were, I think you only had Mr. Ward with you that day, but I may be wrong about that.
That's my recollection.
Yeah, so Mr. Ward, you know, he was revoked as well, and he appealed as well, but that's neither here nor there.
But I guess my question was, not being an attorney, mm-hmm. these cases are brought before us after a conviction.
That's correct.
So he was convicted.
He was convicted.
Okay, and the reason he's back here today is that he didn't plead guilty, but...
Right. He did not acknowledge his guilt before the court. He has said that the evidence... He wasn't challenging the evidence, and the court found the evidence to be sufficient to convict.
Mr. Zedra.
I was one of the commissioners that sat on the guidelines committee when we kind of the matrix and had come up with that, and I don't believe ever have this commission or any of the staff focused on any kind of plea, whether it's a not guilty plea. The deal is if the court convicts you and you are found guilty and you don't appeal and it becomes final, that's what we're about. We don't care if they plead not guilty. But and so for my two cents, we're talking about whether you are convicted or not. How you plead has no relevance at all in our decision, because he can plead not guilty, and if he's found not guilty, he won't come before this board. So my position is that what we're about is the conviction of the court being final, and that's what it was in this case.
Other discussion, Mr. Ballard.
And I don't believe I was actually here for this case, so just looking back at it and just looking at kind of the history, I find one-year revocation to be completely within our normal sentencing guidelines, and I can say I have no recollection of what the plea was or would let that factor into a decision, but just looking at the history of the case, it seems to me like it's a reasonable recommendation of one-year revocation. I see no reason to change it.
Mr. Taggart.
Yes, I'd have a tendency to agree with the same, and the court, I really don't, unfortunately, take that much stock into what happens at the local courts. I find that we do a little better job than they do most of the time. So, yeah.
Your Honor, if you're listening to the tape, please pay no attention.
They do read the tapes or listen and read the transcripts, and that's why we're here, because the judge read the transcript, and it was comment after comment about him pleading guilty. He pled guilty. So that's why we're here.
Mr. Packer.
I can say I made no comment about being guilty. I never have. No. And I usually, again, I say that the guilty plays no part. I listen to what our officers have to say, listen to what we have set up as our matrix for the violation, and make a decision from there. The guilty plea really doesn't play much into my decision process at all.
Well, then I think this kind of falls to me at the moment to make a comment here. And I believe that I was the one at the hearing that made the most out of the fact of my misunderstanding. Mr. Owens had pleaded guilty, and the fact that he pleaded no contest. And I did know the difference, and I do know the difference. And while I agree with the other commissioners here that from our perspective, a conviction is the predicate for triggering a commissioned hearing, I do believe that my comments about Mr. Owens' plea of guilty misstated incorrectly here has caused Mr. Owens to go through a variety of hoops and hurdles to jump through in the legal system here with Mr. Crook's able counsel and able defense. So, to that end, while I agree with you all in the principle here that technically from a legal standpoint there was a conviction in court that triggered this hearing, I'd be willing for my own personal sense of justice and morality here to refigure the punishment from a year to, say, 10 months, which isn't quite time served, so to speak, but he has gone revoked and without being on the water for 9 months. I throw that out just for my sense, and y'all have your own consciences. Mr. Zedrin.
My thoughts on it would be rather than give him time served, to put him on probation so that we're all about following the rules. And you know, and I agree with you. Not only did he have to go through those hoops, they're not free. And so, you know, I don't know what Mr. Hook, Crook charges, but I know what I charge. And that's a quite substantial investment, I would say. But it says something else, too. You know, we have people come in here, like one did, and said, hey, you can take my license, my 900 pots, and stomps out the door. And there's another. What's happened here is this man really wants his license. And he wants his license enough so he's going to fight for his license. And he's been 10 months without a license. And so I think that says something about his character, about something about him being a good waterman, is that he wants his license, and he needs his license. And he's going to stand up for what's right. And I think that's important. But I also think it's important to follow the rules. And I think if we put him on probation for a year or 2 years, that's going to, you know, let him toe the line and make sure he gets what he needs to get done right, and so he can have his license back, and it's sort of a compromise. That would be my thought.
I'll only ask a question of our counsel, and I suspect that this might be a tough question.
Mm-hmm.
So
we can increase the period.
Can we increase the sanction period to include a year probation and reduce the revocation period from 1 year to 9 months, in which case he can go back on the water for a year of probation?
I can say it is a difficult question, except in one circumstance, and that circumstance is if Mr. Owens would just voluntarily accept it. If we do decide to increase the period, not the revocation period, but to impose an additional probationary period, there is, I mean, somewhat of a question in my mind about whether there would be sufficient evidence to do that, because there hasn't been any additional, shall we say, incriminating evidence that would lead to a longer penalty period. So I guess I'll ask Mr. Crook.
Over here.
Yeah.
my client would certainly agree to a probation period.
Okay.
He's a good worker. And he does want to get back in the river, earn a living. Of course, they all do. But his case, as Mr. Zeidern said, he has fought it, fought for it, and maintain his innocence. But he was convicted, and that's true. It's right that he was convicted. And so it's within your power to give him a sentence and also to suspend it or put him on probation or both. You have that authority to do that. And so we would voluntarily accept it.
Okay.
Would you like a minute to confer with your client here on what you would deem to be an acceptable level of probation?
That would be fine.
If you would, why don't we take a minute, and you guys, if you want to go into the next room, feel free to have a chat.
Thank you.
We'll stand in recess for a couple of minutes.
Well, I do, too.
Reconvene.
My client is agreeable to 9 months of suspension of the balance and probation for a year.
I would so move that we do that.
Second.
Do you have the motion correct? It's a motion by Mr. Zeidern for a 9-month revocation period that would end effective immediately, followed by a year of probation effective immediately.
With the balance.
Today.
Effective today for 1 year of probation.
Right.
And that's the second by Mr. Minor. We all clear on the motion?
Yes, sir.
Any discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. Counselor, that was very nice work.
That's my fault.
And you're not a crook.
Wow.
I can keep doing this all day. All right. Back to the top of the offenders list caseload here today. Is Mr. Richard Fluharty in the room? Mr. Richard Fluharty. Officer West, would you yell in the hallway for Mr. Richard Fluharty? Did not expect Mr. Fluharty to appear, and he did not disappoint me. Mr. Fluharty is from Maryland. Would the commission like to hear this case in his absence? He was served in person to appear here today. He's from Maryland.
You need a motion? I would say let's hear it and we don't.
Do we have a consensus to hear the case?
Yes.
I see head nodding.
Yes.
Please proceed, Mr. Semino.
Very brief introduction, and this case has been carried over for some time. So, Mr. Richard N. Fluharty, a commercial fisherman registration licensee, was convicted on August 31st, 2015, for four counts of failure to report mandatory harvest reports and for three counts of forging a public document or record.
Officer, I need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Gary Fox. This investigation was a several-month investigation with Mr. Richard M. Fluharty, MRC ID number 009121. This took place starting up on Saxis Island during the oyster season of 2013-2014. Mr. Fluharty was approached along with another co-conspirator, Mr. Luce Lowry Jr., operating on a vessel in the state of Maryland registration. Mr. Fluharty obtained his commercial registration card on August 27, 2013, using an address of 4927 7th Road, Arlington, Virginia, and then also changed it over to a 22204 P.O. Box 11, New Church, Virginia, which is located within Accomack County, Virginia, on the Eastern Shore. On September 16th, Mr. Fluharty purchased his oyster dredge public ground license, public oyster all-gear user fee, and oyster by hand scrape license. In 2014, Mr. Fluharty renewed his commercial card using the same address as the year before. He again purchased the oyster dredge public ground license, public oyster all-gear user fee, user by hand scrape license, and renewed his commercial card again on December 15, 2014 for the following season. The same address, P.O. Box 11, New Church, Virginia. On December 29, 2014, Mr. Fluharty purchased his oyster dredge public ground license, public oyster user fee, oyster by hand scrape license. All 3 years, Mr. Fluharty worked with Edward Luce Lowry on Mr. Lowry's vessel, and Mr. Lowry, too. I did a query of, due to the fact of Mr. Lowry and Mr. Fluharty always showing up to the dock in a pickup with Maryland registration on the tags, and the Maryland registration on the boat. I started doing some inquiry into it. I asked to speak to them about it. They advised me they didn't have time to discuss it with me. They were busy working, and they'd get back to me later, which never came. I did a query of the Virginia driver's file, showed Mr. Fluharty's driver's license status was licensed using a New Church, Virginia address on his driver's license. Also queried the Maryland system. And it also showed Mr. Fluharty held a Maryland driver's license with his address in Tillman Island, also Tillman Island, Maryland. Further investigation, I went to Tillman Island in Talbot County, went to the Board of Public Records, found out he was a registered voter for the state of Maryland and had been so since 2004. Further investigation with the voter registration for the state of Virginia showed no record of Mr. Fluharty ever being registered as a registered voter in the state of Virginia. A check with the Maryland, Sergeant Buchanan of the Maryland DNR, he furnished the following information that Mr. Fluharty held a residential Maryland waterman's card, ID number 26-0439, using an address of 21601 Chicken Point Road, Tillman Island, Maryland. He also advised that Mr. Flewhart was permanently prohibited from oystering in the state of Maryland for illegal oystering, along with Mr. Bruce Lowry. Both of them were convicted up in the state of Maryland. Both of them are banned from ever oystering for life in the state of Maryland. Further investigation in trailing Mr. Fluharty and Mr. Lowry back and forth, they sold their oysters to the Shinktig Shellfish Company on Shinktig, Virginia for the 2014-2015 year. Most days they kept their limit into it, caught their limit each day. What days they did not go back to the state of Maryland, crossed the line into Maryland where I'd follow them back across the state line, I would follow them to a motel on Shinktig Island where they would stay there. I checked with the desk clerk, and the address they used was Mr. Lowry's address of Tillman Island when they always checked in, stayed at the motel when they would stay there and not go back to Tillman Island. I also went to Shinktig Shellfish, and at that time I had all the records of all their catch that they sold to Shinktig Shellfish, which again was just about they maxed out every day on their limit of 8 bushels per person, so each one. I had that for the court in Accomack when we went to court. They were charged, Mr. Flewhart was charged with 3 counts on a felony charge for falsifying state documents. On August 31st, 2015, Mr. Flewhart entered a plea agreement with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office. You have the 3 felonies reduced to giving false information to a police officer with a $200 fine and 6 months and 10 days in jail, 6 months suspended, and they had to hold the 10 days in jail. The 4 counts of failure to report his oysters, because Mr. Flewhart never reported any of his oyster catch throughout this 2014-2015 season. He went ahead and they pled guilty, was found guilty with fines counts of $50 fine for the first count, second count was $100 fine, third count was $150 fine, and the 4th count of failure to report was also $150 fine.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Holt, can you specify a couple legal matters for us?
Sure. As you probably know, Section 28.2-232, which is the section we're proceeding under here, authorizes you to revoke a person's licenses if you find that they violated a provision of the title fisheries subtitle. And the only convictions that he has that are a violation of that subtitle are the failure to report the mandatory harvest violations. However, if you do find that he violated those provisions, then you can consider the other violations as his repeated or habitual disregard of the conservation, health, or safety laws, because they do tend to indicate that he violated one of those laws, a conservation law about prohibiting non-residents from taking oysters, which is 28.2.634.
Questions of counsel?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
Mr. Neal.
How long can we revoke him?
This was, all the offenses occurred prior to the amendment, so the recommendation is a 2-year revocation, which is the maximum.
Okay.
In summary, he's from Maryland. He was kicked out of the oyster fishery for life in Maryland. Fraudulently attained the Virginia driver's license and identification, got a permit, was harvesting oysters as a Maryland resident, which is against the code, and failed to file his harvest reports and some other minor paperwork involving fraudulent documents. So that's where we stand with Mr. Flewhart. Mr. Ballard.
I wonder, since all we can do is revoke his license for 2 years, at the end of which I assume he could move to Virginia, establish residency, and get a license, whether it might be better to suspend his license indefinitely until he appears before us to hear the case. We might have already passed that bridge, but
even if you were to do that, you could only suspend it for a maximum period of 2 years. Okay. So even if he didn't show up within the 2 years, that would be it.
Gotcha.
Other questions?
Yeah, how come Maryland can revoke him for life and we can only do 2 years?
The Maryland Code of Maryland is different than the Code of Virginia.
That was a rhetorical question.
Thank you. It was a non-rhetorical answer. So those are the confines. So the staff recommendation, Mr. Smeal?
Yes, sir. You got a preview of that.
Yeah. We had a sense.
Yeah, I mean, a lot went into this, obviously. So given the severity of the situation, the number of convictions, and the specific details of this case involving a non-resident illegally harvesting oysters, staff is recommending a 2-year revocation. I'll read this into the record. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Fluharty's commission-issued licenses for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2018. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Fluharty's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Fluharty's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2018.
For the staff recommendation, what's the will of the commission? Mr. Minor.
I move to accept staff recommendations.
Motion by Mr. Minor, second by Mr. France. Any discussion? I'll make one point. Sergeant Fox, you deserve great commendation for the work you and your team did to track all this down. I know that this was a lot of work and a lot of travel and a lot of effort to be able to prove conclusively in court that Mr. Fluharty here was a Marylander and didn't have rights to fish for oysters in Virginia, and that he fraudulently set up the paperwork to make that happen. I thank you and your team here for pursuing this case vigorously. So we have a motion, we have a second. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? And the chair votes aye as well, and the motion passes unanimously. And Mr. Fluharty is not welcome in the Commonwealth's tidal waters here to fish commercially. Is Mr. Robert N. Hogue, Jr. in the room? Please come forward, sir. Mr. Hogue, let me swear you in. Please raise your right hand, Officer Griffin, as well. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
Robert Norris Hogue, Jr.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hogue. Officer Griffin, what can you tell us about this case?
Yes, sir, Mr. Commissioner. On September 18, 2015, myself, Officer Robert Griffin, Virginia Marine Police, Officer York, Officer Dives, and Officer Stevens were on a special assignment when at approximately about 6:26 in the morning, myself, Officer Griffin, and Officer York, we were undercover in a VMRC skiff loaded with crab pots when we observed the vessel Lydell H dredging for oysters on the public rock in the James River. The Lydell H was intercepted before it could leave the public rock area by a marked VMRC vessel. The vessel was escorted back to the Menchville Marina where 12 bushels of illegally harvested oysters were discovered on the vessel. Mr. Hogg to my left here was the captain of the vessel that took in the harvesting of those oysters. Then again on January 22, 2016 at approximately 10 a.m., I made contact with Mr. Hogg at the Menchville Marina while he was conducting his oyster offloading operations. This was a time of year last January when we had an early morning, late afternoon snowstorm come in. So at the time, I was checking all the vessels and trying to expedite their ability to offload the oysters because everybody was coming in at once. When I made contact with Mr. Hogg, when he tied up to the bulkhead, he had a loose pile of harvested oysters on the deck of the vessel. In addition, he also had excess bushel baskets in the vessel. I explained to him about the regulation that you can only have them in oysters either in a pile or in bushel baskets, but not in both. He started cussing at me. He was very uncooperative, and he even told me, just write him a ticket. At that point, I let him go because everybody was trying to get in and get their oysters offloaded. I just gave him a little bit of regulation education, as I call it. On January 25th, 2016, the following Monday, while Officer York and I were checking, we checked 52 oyster boats in the James River that day. Mr. Hoggs happened to be the light LH happened to be the last one we came to. Again, he had the oysters in a pile in the vessel, and he had extra bushel baskets on board the vessel. So at that time, I wrote him a summons for being a violation of 4 VAC 20, 260, 50. Again, Mr. Hogg was uncooperative. I told him he was going to have to plant his oysters in the sanctuary. At first, he says he wasn't going to do that. And then I told him he had no choice. And he said, fine. And he put his boat in clutch speed from the outside the Pagan River in that area. And he proceeded the clutch speed over to the sanctuary to put the oysters back as to prevent us from inspecting any of the oyster vessels that day. Old charges, he was taken to court upon conviction. One thing I will state for the record that for the harvesting the oysters from the public rock, Mr. Hogg did enter into a plea agreement with the Commonwealth, and he did enter a plea of guilty on that plea agreement. The charges.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
You're going to tell me clutch speed. I'm not familiar with that term.
Just engage the prop. Just put it in, just engage it in gear, 4-5 knots, slow bell, just slowly getting across the water. Uh-huh. It'd be kind of like you, if you put your car in idle in traffic in front of other people, went down the road that way.
Any other questions from the commission? You got everything on the record you need?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Officer Griffin. Mr. Hawk.
I took and I did. I went out on the state bottom and I did take some oysters. I pled guilty to that. And lucky I'm not in prison because of it. Commonwealth attorney took it upon herself to take pity on me and they did not lock me. Okay? And I take and I still stand here today with 3 years probation over my head. If I get a ticket for oystering or anything within the next 3 years, I can go to penitentiary for 1 to 20 years. Okay, gentlemen, as far as this basket, he did tell me. I told him I was only using one. I was only cloning one. I had three with trash in them. He's got a picture. Had snow on them and everything. I was not using them. I used one basket. And when we went to court, the judge found me guilty because of one basket that I had open. Okay? I mean, my lawyer was supposed to be here today. I don't know where he's at. And I stand here for you. Y'all take my license. Today, you're going to put me out of work and stuff like that. I've oystered my whole life. You look at my record, it says nothing in there about fishing or anything. I've oystered ever since I was 11 years old. I've been out. So I'm on y'all's mercy today.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
Well, my main question is, why'd you have to be so belligerent to the officer just doing his job?
To him. He's been, me and him, you know, certain people do not click. Me and him done. His partner, I have no problem. You know, everybody wants. If I ever said anything out of the way he did, at any time. And I've never really said nothing out of him. Just that day, gentlemen. Just that day. That's all. I'm not one to take a sit there and take one to lose my life. Okay? So I'm on y'all's mercy. Whatever y'all do today, I'm going to have to deal with it.
Are there other questions from the commission?
I think, really, gentlemen, 2 years suspended is a little bit, a year suspended is enough, but probation, we're running along with what I got. See what happens in the next 3 years, if y'all wish it so.
Mr. Smino, what's the staff recommendation in this case?
I'll refer you to the matrix and the conviction on March 31st, 2016 of harvesting oysters during a closed public season with a recommendation of 1 year revocation. So I will read the staff recommendation into the record. The Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters during a closed public season within a 12-month period should result in at least a 1 year revocation In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. Hogue's Commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this Commission meeting, November 1, 2016, through October 31, 2017. Staff also recommends the Commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Hogue's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the Commission revoke Mr. Hogue's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this Commission meeting, November 1, 2016, through October 31, 2017. Staff also recommends the Commission place Mr. Hogue on probation for a period of 2 years immediately following this revocation period. So from November 1, 2017 through October 31, 2019. Any failure on Mr. Hogue's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 2 year probation period would result in Mr. Hogue appearing before the Commission for another hearing on license revocation.
Mr. Hogue, you've heard the staff recommendation. Do you have a response?
Sir, I think that there's a little extreme. I'll sit there and I'm going to tell you, I'm facing 3 years in the penitentiary or 1 to 20 if I violate within the next 2 or 3 years. I figure probation would be well enough.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Matters before the Commission.
I have a question for the officer.
Mr. Prince.
Could you explain the to some of us, maybe they aren't too familiar with the law, on the baskets and culling in a pile and what you can have on a boat, what you can't?
Yes, sir. You can either cull all your oysters off the culling board and put them into one large pile on the deck of the vessel. And you can if you cull them into a single pile, you can have one bushel basket on board the vessel, so you can get an estimate of how many bushels you're putting on the deck of the boat. The other option is, as they come off the culling board, they go directly into baskets, and you stack up all your baskets on the deck of the boat so you know how many bushels of oysters you have. If you have your oysters in a pile, the code allows you to have one bushel basket aboard that vessel, and the purpose of that is for culling the oysters. Cannot have any more than one basket aboard that vessel.
Mr. Tacker.
So as a follow-up, you said on the day of the snowing, you explained to him this exact regulation that you've just explained to us now.
Yes, sir, and there was actually two other vessels that day. I explained to him that all but one basket had to leave his vessel. And
right.
That's when he got upset, and he told me, just go ahead and write him a ticket.
But you kind of gave him a second chance that day.
I did.
So he's had a second chance, is what you're saying to me.
Yes, sir. He got a warning that day.
I got a question. Is he on probation from a previous event as he stands here today? He talked about probation. Is he talking about court, or is he talking about from here?
Court probation.
Court probation.
Yes.
Newport News Court. Jail time suspended.
Yeah.
So just to drum it in for the record, your officer, Griffin, after you gave him the education about the basket presence and whatnot, the actual violation you found 3 days later?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yes.
Okay.
The education was on a Friday, and the violation was the following Monday.
I'm not sure the education sunk in. What's the will of the commission?
just the harvesting out of season is enough for a revocation. This other stuff just kind of other stuff. And counting the two where he's here today, we've got 11 oyster violations, convictions. And so this is not a one-time type of thing. If anything, I think staff recommendation is lenient. I think it could be. You could definitely justify harsher. A comment.
Mr. Tackert.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, I'm surprised when I read through this, it only had a one-year revocation. I could see, I'm sort of surprised with that. I thought staff was being very lenient. I don't know if there's why that would be, but I'd make a motion for a staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. Tackert here to accept the staff recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there further discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Mr. Hogg, your license is...
Y'all have a great day.
Thank you. You too, sir. Well, I know the answer to the question. Is Mr. Anthony Hogg in the room? And while I know the answer, Officer Griffin, would you yell in the hallway for Mr. Anthony Hogg? I received a phone call yesterday afternoon that from a woman who said Mr. Hogg would be unable to attend today because he's working. She was no more specific than that.
I didn't catch that.
That he was working and would not be able to attend the meeting as a result. He had been summoned to appear here in a hand-delivered note that he had signed in a summons. So it's up to the commission whether or not to hear this case in his absence or to continue the case.
Yeah, we got the officer here. I'd hear it and get it off our
pocket
here.
In favor of hearing the case now? I see heads nods. I don't see anybody saying no. Let's continue with the case. Officer West, have you been sworn in?
No, sir.
Well, let me do so. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Officer Patrick West.
Well, can you tell us about this case, Mr. Anthony Hogg?
Yes. This case is going to be, it occurred on October the 22nd, 2015, Rappahannock River, Area 5. Some video. This is the video that was taken that day. Mr. Anthony Hogg was a captain of a vessel that was caught harvesting in the sanctuary. This is a different one right here you're looking at now. Basically, what happened on October 22nd, we had received several complaints throughout the year that people had been inside the oyster sanctuary harvesting oysters. An operation was set up. I was able to get on the shoreline with video equipment and actually record the violations taking place. As you can see right here, this is a gray boat, which is another vessel. But Mr. Hogg's vessel will come into the picture. Like I said, he was the captain of the boat. He had two more people on board, which we've seen all but one, I believe, here. So I think he's being seen today. For several hours, he was observed in the sanctuary, around the sanctuary. Other officers were brought in later that afternoon. They did a boarding, positively ID the crew members and who was the captain of the boat. And the oysters were returned to the sanctuary. Mr. Hogg was charged and taken to Middlesex Court. He actually accepted a plea deal for the closure of the sanctuary was a Class 1 misdemeanor, which he was convicted of, which was part of a plea deal. Theft of oysters, which also was a Class 1 misdemeanor for this case, convicted. Oyster dredging equipment on boat was a Class 6 felony, which nulls pros, was part of a plea agreement. Having a hand scrape on state bottom in an area not permitted was null pros, which is also a Class 6 felony, part of a plea deal. And harvesting the oyster with a hand scrape in a hand tong area was 2015, I'm sorry, that he was convicted of, but it had nothing to do with this case. So Mr. Hogg pled it out. There was jail time served, restitution and fines to the oyster replenishment fund, and several fines regarding the convictions of the Class 1 misdemeanors. See if I can give you a... idea of where he's at. This is the sanctuary with the buoys. I think that y'all already seen this, I think.
Yeah.
This is another boat. There's one of the buoys. That's not his. His boat was easy to identify because he had polyballs on the stern. So we had a positive. I almost ID'd him from the shore as being the captain of the previous encounter with him. So once the officers boarded took all the information, it was just going on with the case from there. He also
has... There's more.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is a narrative from one of our... Yes, that's Mr. Hogg. There he is in the white, the gray sweatshirt going around these things. But this is passed on through SIU. On April 16th, or April of 2016...
For the record, SIU is Special Investigative
Unit. Yes, sir. On April of 2016, agents of the Virginia Marine Police Special Investigation Unit were informed of a possible shellfish violations taking place in and around Gloucester County, Virginia. The SIU was also informed that the individual by the name of Anthony Dale Hogg was reasonable for various violations associated with these illegal shellfish harvests and practices. On April 8, 2016, an agent of the SIU was able to meet with Mr. Anthony Dale Hogg in an undercover capacity in Gloucester County, Virginia. The agent was able to converse with Anthony at this time and verify that Anthony was actually currently harvesting oysters from tidal waters of the Commonwealth. Anthony provided the agent with a telephone number, which confirmed to be his cellular telephone number, and Anthony agreed to sell the agent oysters in the future and stated to the agent that he only needed to call this number and provide arrangements for the purchase of oysters in the future. On April 20th, 2016, the agent was able to contact Anthony via text messaging with the telephone number provided to him from Anthony and arrange the purchase of one bushel of oysters. The purchase of the oysters were agreed to by the agent and Anthony and took place on 4/22/2016. The agent indicated to Anthony in a text message that he would call him on the morning of April 22nd to confirm the purchase. On April 22nd, 2016, at 8:42 a.m., the agent received an incoming call from the telephone number known to be associated with Anthony. The agent answered the call, confirmed the caller to be Anthony Hogg, and this conversation was recorded by the agent. Anthony and the agent conversed about commercial fishing, Anthony's seafood businesses, and the agent purchasing more seafood in the future. The agent and Anthony agreed to meet at a location in Gloucester County, Virginia. Later that day, he purchased the oysters. After arriving at the agreed-upon location, the agents received a call from Anthony. Anthony tells the agent that he received the call and had to run out. Anthony tells the agent he will have his father come pick up the oysters from him and bring them to the agent's location. Shortly after the conversation, the agent receives a call from the individual stating his name is Richard and that he is Anthony's father. Richard coordinates with the agent for the sale of the oysters previously arranged by Anthony. Richard meets with the agent and sells the agent approximately one bushel of oysters. The oysters were sold to the agent for $45, a price previously agreed upon by Anthony and the agent. The oysters were sold to the agent in a brown burlap sack, and the oysters contained no tag of any kind indicating the harvest. Location or harvest date, quantity of the harvest, the person was responsible for the harvest shell tag required by law. On April 29, 2016, an agent at SIU was working in an undercover capacity posing as a seafood buyer in Jamestown. This is a separate incident. Virginia was able to contact Mr. Anthony Hogg and Richard K. Hogg. The agent was able to make contact with both individuals at Jamestown Marina located off Necco Land Road in Jamestown, Virginia. On April 29, 2016, the agents from SIU were able to set up a surveillance on these two individuals and observe them leaving from Powhatan Creek in a skiff-type vessel. Agents were also able to observe the boat returning to the same creek and relay this information to an agent posing as a seafood buyer. The undercover agent was also able to observe a GMC pickup truck located at the marina that was known to be associated with Mr. Anthony Hogg. The agent was able to speak to both Anthony and Richard once they returned from the dock located next to the pickup truck. Prior to making contact with the two individuals, the agents noted five plastic bushel baskets containing fish, which had been offloaded from the vessel. The agent also noted that one of the baskets contained striped bass and were tagged with VMRC Atlantic striped bass tags. It is unknown who the striped bass tags belong to. The remainder of the baskets contained blue catfish. Then the agent knew that Anthony did not possess a 2016 VMRC Atlantic striped bass permit or associated striped bass quota. The agent later learned that Richard also did not possess a 2016 VMRC Atlantic striped bass permit or an associated striped bass quota. The agent began to converse with Anthony and Richard and asked if they had been fishing or crabbing. Anthony has stated that the two men had been fishing and were disappointed with their harvest and getting ready to take up their gear. Anthony explains that they had caught nothing and tells the agent they were catfishing and rock fishing. Richard tells the agent all the net we got overboard, and that's all the rockfish. Richard was referring to the plastic basket containing striped bass. Anthony indicates to the agent they had received $2.50 per pound last week for striped bass. The two individuals and the agent continue to converse about fishing and the agent tells Anthony he is looking for someone to fill his striped bass quota. Anthony and Richard continue working at the dock, and the agent observes Anthony place the baskets of fish into the bed of a GMC pickup truck known to be associated with him. Anthony attempts to get the agent to follow him to a location to meet someone he knows. Anthony indicates to the agent that the person would be interested in the striped bass quota. The agent is able to direct the conversation back to the striped bass, and Anthony tells the agent that they sell their rockfish to Sea Farms and Amory's. Anthony also indicated to the agent that they are going to stop fishing and start oystering due to the poor harvest of fish using gill nets. The agent is able to photograph the fish inside the plastic baskets at the dock area while conversing with Anthony and Richard. April 22nd, 2016, this is a separate incident, an agent of SIU working in an undercover capacity was able to purchase one bushel of oysters from Anthony Dale Hogg. The purchase documented from the previous investigative report. The agent continued to keep in contact with Anthony via text messages through the months of April of 2016 and May 2016. The agent and Anthony had arranged for the purchase and sale of oysters two additional times in the months of April and May. These additional sales did not take place. The agent ended his attempts to contact Anthony in May of 2016. On 6/8/2016, the agent received a text message from Anthony. Anthony told the agent that he was sorry for not responding to him. He had been busy. The agent responded to the message by asking Anthony if he was still fishing, to which Anthony responded, "Yeah, been really busy lately." The agent confirms that Anthony that he is still selling oysters and arranges for the purchase of oysters from Anthony later on in the week. The agent asks Anthony if he would be able to sell four bushels of oysters for the previously agreed upon price of $45. Anthony tells the agent, "Yes, no problem." On June 10, 2016, Anthony contacts the agent via text message saying he's still good for today. The agent confirms with Anthony with a text message and tells him to expect the call later. The agent places a recorded telephone call to Anthony, and the two confirm the purchase of the location of the oysters in Gloucester County, Virginia. Anthony confirms with the agent that the oysters are from the York River. On 6/10/2016, at approximately 2:23 p.m., the agent observes Anthony arrive at the agreed-upon location driving a GMC pickup truck. The agent is fitted with a recording device and exits the truck to greet Anthony. The agent and Anthony engage in small talk, and Anthony references brown burlap sacks located in the bed of the truck and tells the agent that he put five bushels of oysters in the sacks for the agent. The agent thanks Anthony for the amount of oyster overage, and the two place the oysters from the bed of Anthony's truck into the agent's vehicle. Anthony again confirms with the agent that the oysters are from the York River and that the shellfish were caught on this day. The agent was able to inspect all oysters and verify that none of the oysters or their containers contained any type of tags stating their harvest location, harvest date, quantity of harvest, or person responsible for harvesting the shellfish as required by law. Anthony and the agent arrange a conversation about Anthony's various commercial fishing practices, and the agent pays Anthony for the shellfish transaction. After the transaction is complete, agents from SIU coordinate with uniformed officers of the Virginia Marine Police to serve Anthony with warrants previously obtained by agents of the SIU for all violations described in this narrative. None of the seafood either sold to or observed harvested by the agents were reported as harvested by either Anthony Hogg or Richard Hogg. On 6/10/2016, after being advised of his Miranda rights and signing a waiver of those rights, Anthony provided a written and verbal statement to agents of SIU. Mr. Anthony Hogg tells the agents that he is fully aware of his illegal involvement in each violation he has been charged with and knew that he was performing these acts in violation of Virginia Code and VMRC regulations as it relates to the marine resources of the Commonwealth. In case reports, investigation photographs, text messages, and signed statements are available for the commission review. I have the letter. You wanted to see that.
Thanks. Really kind of overkill. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Smito. What is the staff recommendation in this matter? And before you do, let me make a little editorial note here. These are all serious violations, each and every one of them. This isn't the first time Mr. Hogg has been before the commission. He's been before us several other times for a complete inability, apparently, to file his harvest reports accurately and on time. And I, by my count, if he was here today, this would have been the sixth appearance before the commission in the last 3 years. So he's like a frequent flyer for us. Mr. Cimino, what is the staff recommendation?
Yes, sir. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Hogue's commission-issued licenses for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2021. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any Mr. Hogue's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Hogue's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 5 years from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2021.
Any questions from the commission? Discussion, matters before the commission. Mr. Zedrin.
I want to thank the officer and the SIU unit for a fantastic job. I think that we need to look at the resources that the BMRC put into this case. I mean, you know, that was a lot of resources right there. And excellent coordination, excellent, you know, way they handle themselves. And frankly, I don't think this staff recommendation is enough. I think that are we within our new statutory guidelines? We're not.
No, he wasn't caught fishing while his licenses were revoked, so we can't impose the civil penalty.
Oh, that's where I was going. Okay. All right. That's all I got to say.
What Max can do is revoke 5 years.
That's correct.
Okay. That's correct. The code's maximum is 5 years for these offenses, which is the staff recommendation. Further discussion?
I move we accept the staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Zedrin, second by Mr. Miner. Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Officer West. Officer West, you did terrific work on this. Thank you very much. And I will tell the Special Investigative Unit myself. Next case is Mr. Richard K. Hogg. Is Mr. Richard K. Hogg present? Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Please state your name into the microphone for the record.
Richard Keith Hogue, Sr.
Thank you, sir. Officer West.
Yes, so this is Mr. Hogg, who was also involved with the striped bass case involving SIU. I believe Anthony's father. Yes, sir. For the narrative that I read you, this was the individual that was with Anthony Hogg while they were harvesting the gill bass and striped bass.
Mr. Hogg, do we need to read this all into the record again?
Just based on the prior case and the summary in the packet, I would say no. I think the record is pretty clear that the evidence is there.
The only thing I would say is that he would ask on the record that previous testimony, as it applied to Richard Hart, be the same testimony on this record.
Sure. If you'll go ahead and state that, that'll be sufficient.
Yes, sir. Testimony that I previously read with Anthony Hogg involved and Mr. Hogg, it's the same testimony, both involved in the case.
Okay. Mr. Hogg, you've heard the testimony as it applies to you. What would you like to tell the commission?
Well, the man is standing with the right leg. We supposed got the Mike Jackson was supposed to sign him over to Anthony. That was my, but that's what I was told. in which he never was. So that's how I got caught with.
Who caught the stripers?
Me and Anthony, can you deal on that? Which, on the assumption that Mike had signed them over to Anthony. You know, it is what it is.
Why did you assume that Mike, whoever Mike is?
Mike Jackson, y'all know him.
All right. So you thought that he had given his striped bass tags to your son?
Yeah, him and Anthony are tight. And Anthony told me that Mike had signed some tags over to him to catch for him.
Okay.
That was my understanding. But I'm just as guilty as anybody. I was in the boat. No argument with that.
Okay.
So thus, Mr. Hogg, you're okay with the 2-year probation period?
Yes, sir. Follow me.
All right.
Any other questions from the commission?
Yeah, I have a question.
Mr. Neal.
Even if these tags with the corresponding quota had been properly transferred, would these tags still been illegal? These were Atlantic coastal tags, is that right? This was coastal quota?
Yes, that was in the report.
And so they'd still, even if they'd been transferred, they would not have been legal up in the bay.
I'm not sure about that. I'd have to read the regulation without giving a correct answer.
That's correct.
Okay. So,
ocean striped bass tags are for fish that are caught in the ocean. There's bay striped bass tags, and they're for fish that are caught in the bay, and it's not permitted to mix and match. They're not gar animals.
I got a question.
Mr. Zedrin.
I just read your son's confession, so to speak, a statement there, and he says in there that I know it was wrong. And so is it your testimony? Is that your son didn't tell you what you were doing is wrong?
Him and Mike never told me the truth. That's just the way it happened.
Okay, thank you.
I was in the boat, like I said. That's all I can tell you.
Okay, Miss. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Hogg. Anything else to add?
2 years, 5 years, whatever you want to give me. Fine.
All right. For the record here, Mr. Cimino, what is the staff recommendation?
Yes.
Staff's recommendation is based on the on the matrix we have. Commission guidelines for sanctions specify that two convictions of failure to possess a commercial license without eligibility, in this case a striped bass license, within a 24-month period should result in at least a 2-year probation. Commission guidelines also specify that two convictions involving improper use of commercial harvester tags within a 12-month period would result in at least a 1-year probation. So in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Hogg on probation for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2018. Any failure on Mr. Hogg's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 2-year probation would result in Mr. Hogg appearing before the commission for hearing on license revocation.
That's the staff recommendation for 2 years of probation effective immediately. What's the will of the commission?
I move to accept staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Tankard. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Is there any discussion? We'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
I say no.
Mr. Neal votes no. The chair votes aye. The motion passes 6-1. Mr. Hopp, you're on probation for 2 years, effective immediately. We don't want to see you back here.
I'm not coming back.
Don't go fishing with your son because he's prohibited from fishing. And if he's caught fishing commercially while his license is revoked, he'll be back here and he'll be eligible for a civil penalty of up to $10,000, which I'm sure neither of you would want to pay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate your civility, too. Mr. Donald Broadwell. Is Mr. Donald Broadwell?
Commissioner, I received a phone call from Mr. Broadwell this morning.
Yes, Colonel Rhodes. Yeah.
That he was employed at VIMS. There was a class today at VIMS he needed to take with his job. He's not here.
Well, for the record here, he was summoned to appear here in a hand-delivered summons?
Yes, he was.
To appear here November 1st, this day, this time, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, you want to hear this case in his absence, or do you want to continue it?
You're done.
Hear the case?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Head's nodding. Let's hear the case then. Officer West, you've been busy.
Yes, sir.
This case involves Donald Graham Broadwell II, VMRC number 2780. January 16, 2015, Donald Graham Broadwell was charged with possession of uncalled oysters. Mr. Broadwell's case was heard in Gloucester County District Court, and the judge ruled that it would be dismissed. He would dismiss the charge, providing that Mr. Broadwell be placed on probation of 1 year. Mr. Broadwell did not have any more violations regarding natural resource violations. The charge would be dismissed. In a follow-up to Mr. Broadwell's probation, I checked his history to see if he was in compliance with his probation. Upon reviewing the history with the Virginia Marine Resources Commission, I noticed that he had not submitted his mandatory harvesting reports for the following months: August 2015, September 2015, and October 2015. As I looked at Mr. Broadwell's history with our agency, I noticed that he was placed on a two-year probation starting August 26, 2014, that ran through August 25, 2016, for failure to report his mandatory harvesting reports. After researching the information I found, I contacted Ms. Stephanie Iverson to see if Mr. Broadwell was in violation of not submitting his mandatory harvesting reports. Her information was correct and showed that Mr. Broadwell was in violation for not submitting his harvesting reports for the months of August 2015, September 2015, and October 2015. Once all information was gathered and recorded, I charged with Mr. Broadwell for the failure to report his mandatory harvest reports for the following months of August, September of 2015. Mr. Broadwell was charged with three Class 1 misdemeanors for failure to report mandatory harvesting reports. When Mr. Broadwell's case was heard in Newport News General District Court, he and his attorney agreed to a plea agreement that would drop two of the charges, and he would plead guilty to one charge of failure to report. Mr. Broadwell has a lengthy history with our agency of not submitting mandatory harvest reports on time or not at all. According to the ruling enforced by the Virginia Marine Resource Commission of 2 years probation, Mr. Broadwell had violated his probation with the commission.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino, what's the staff recommendation?
Mr. Broadwell was put on probation during the August 24th commission meeting for 2 years. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that two convictions of failure to submit mandatory harvest reports within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation on the offender's second appearance. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. Broadwell's commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, October 31st, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Broadwell's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. Broadwell's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2017.
I've heard the staff recommendation. Third discussion. I'll lead it off because there's a couple things about this that weigh on my mind. Number one, probation violations carry consequences. I'm not sure in this particular case probation violation should carry a one-year revocation consequence. And I really don't agree with a revocation for a year of title fishing privileges for what is a mandatory harvest report filing. I don't know of another case where we have revoked fishing privileges for mandatory harvest report violations, although this case is a probation violation because of a resource violation.
Right.
But he's here, or he would be here before us, for a mandatory harvest report violation of his probation. So, personally, I think a year is a little much, and I would not tack on the revocation of fishing privileges. At least that way, he could still work on the water for somebody else. But that's my two cents, just trying to be fair to everyone. This is a probation violation. It carries consequences from my standpoint. Mr. Zedrin.
You know, I was talking about Mr. Attorney Crook's client about how he really appreciated his license and what he had to go through to get his license back. I think this is just the opposite of that. Okay, this guy here, he's on probation. You know, he gets, he does his felony report, he gets convicted, and he don't even care enough to come here and talk to us. You know, I mean, missing a class over at BIMS would be a priority of mine if you're talking about taking my law license. And I think that we got to send a message out there that, you know, if you're on probation, we've given you a chance. And if you violate that and you don't have a good reason or you don't have a defense, I'm not likely to give them another chance. I think, you know, to tell you the truth, when I look at this, I think 1 year revocation is too light. But, you know.
Mr. Ballard.
I agree with the commissioner's sentiments on one being a paperwork process, and that revoking title fishing privileges for that is not. But I look at the history as well and see just a history of more serious, what I would term natural resource violations, and then the paperwork on top of that not showing up to this date. And I tend to agree that I think the staff recommendation is appropriate.
Mr. Tanker.
Yeah, I concur with that. I mean, we have a paperwork violation, but I think, you know, this paperwork is important for the management of the resource. It's the Commonwealth's resource. He enjoys fishing from, and he's got to play by the rules. But as has been mentioned, he's had a lot of other violations. It's almost like on every couple-year basis, he's got pretty serious problems. I would have a tendency to go with staff recommendation as well.
Just for the record here, mandatory harvest reports are indeed important to the proper management of the fisheries. We manage a lot of quota-managed species. If Virginia cannot prove it is staying within its quotas and cannot prove it to the satisfaction of the United States government and the Department of Interior, these fisheries can be closed by federal order. So these mandatory harvest reports aren't just meaningless paperwork. They're important to these fisheries. Mr. Neal, did I see your hand up?
Yeah, I guess I had. But I guess started this, he was charged with possession of uncalled oysters, and this was also during his probation time?
Don't believe so. He was charged in January of 2015. He was on probation
from 14 to 16.
Yes.
Yes.
So this was a fisheries violation, and the judge said he would dismiss, providing he was on probation for a year.
Yes.
So there was a natural resources violation while on probation.
Yep, Mr. Neal, I stand corrected. That's correct. And on top of it, he had mandatory violations on top of the natural resource violation while he was on probation for mandatory harvest report violation. Hard to keep all that straight.
He's got a confusing record.
I agree with you.
You make a compelling case, gentlemen.
I would move for staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. Tanker. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Zedrun. Further discussion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. 1 year revocation. Clarify this. That was revocation of licenses and title fishing privileges?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 1 year revocation of licenses and title fishing privileges. Mr. James L. West. Mr. West, please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
James Lawson West.
Officer West, I assume there's no relation.
No, sir. Yes, sir. This was also one of the people in the cases that on October 22nd, 2015, on the Rappahannock River, with Bob Hardison and Sanctuary. Mr. West was a crew member aboard Anthony Hogg's vessel. Like I said, video surveillance was taken. Information was given to us. We went out there, and we were able to observe them in the sanctuary for several hours that morning, working inside the sanctuary, running into the buoys, and harvesting oysters. Mr. West was, he took a plea agreement as part of a reduction in his fines. He was the Class 6 felony was dropped, and with the unlawful harvesting of orchards with a scrape, orchard dredging equipment was dropped. That was also a Class 6 felony. He pleaded to theft of oysters, clams, or shells, etc., which was a Class 1, and the closure of the sanctuary would end up being a Class 3 misdemeanor. There were numerous fines, the oyster replenishment fund, fines for the Class 3 misdemeanor involving the closure of the sanctuary, and Mr. West has 3 years probation of good behavior. That he cannot violate. So, like I said, he was punished within Middlesex, and those were the terms of the plea agreement.
We need this on the record from the prior Anthony Hogg case.
We need to describe everything.
And he was also on the video that we were showed. He was on Anthony's bus.
Okay. Are there questions from the commission? Mr. West, this is your chance. Please stand in front of the microphone. What do you want the commission to know?
Well, I was on the sanctuary. I was with the wrong captain. I usually go oyster with my uncle or other family members that don't get into that kind of stuff. And I just made a mistake with the wrong person that year and finally figured out that you can't do something like that and get away with it. I made a mistake. I was punished in the courts. And on September the 2nd of this year, my fiance almost lost her life. And I finally figured out that still it ain't worth it. And I've been punished enough, and I'm just asking the board to please let me keep my license so I can support my fiance while she goes through what she's going through. She lost half of her face, and we have no other income. If I lose my license, it's hard for me to get a job because I'm a convicted felon. And this is the only thing I know now. I'm at the mercy of y'all. I'm on my knees begging, please don't take my license. Give me probation. Let me prove to y'all that this will never happen again.
Mr. Cedron.
What's a felony convicted for?
I stole a car when I was young.
How long ago was that?
10 years ago, maybe 15.
Okay. In our record here, it's got a summary of conviction. It says on the May 18, 2016 one, it said the Middlesex County Circuit Court plea, fine $100, court costs zero. And then it has a statement. It says waives right to appeal decision of the Virginia Marine Resources Commission regarding action BMRC may take regarding licensure of the defendant. Is that part of your deal?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
That was because we asked, somebody said that we could have in our plea agreement that not go in front of the board because I've never had a charge other than a fishing license. Well, fishing without a fishing license on the water my whole life. And I wanted to see if I can get a plea agreement where I wouldn't have to go in front of the commission. That way I could prove, say, I just went with the wrong person this year. Give me a break. But they said they don't do that. But then a week later, they gave what I was asking for to somebody else so they didn't have to go in front of the board, and they had worse charges than I had. I just don't understand.
Yeah, I wouldn't understand that either, Mr. West. I have a question for you. How long have you been a commercial fisherman?
I've been working since I was 11 on the water.
And how
I've had odd jobs
How old are you now?
32.
Okay.
Well, 33.
Okay.
Can I get a question?
Mr. Tanker.
So if I'm looking at that video, right, you're in the video with the ball, with the boat, with the poly balls on the back, correct?
Yes.
So there's a big sign right there saying sanctuary, correct? Is that right?
We don't. That doesn't say sanctuary. That
doesn't
say sanctuary. That's a danger.
It just says danger, okay. Right.
That's another thing we had in court. One said danger, one said sanctuary.
So there was no sign around you? That
no, there wasn't. I admit I was in the sanctuary.
You knew you were in the sanctuary?
Yes.
Says danger, no harvest, oyster sanctuary.
Okay.
And then it's marked on the map that is made available to them. There's a copy of the buoys.
Yep.
And then there's the inshore and the offshore buoy that is in the water, which also say VMRC, no harvesting.
And that, Mr. Zeper,
the buoy is what we saw in the video.
Yes.
Right?
You okay. See the. The downriver oyster sign, I mean the big one, what you see, and you see this one. That's where they hung around.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission?
I have a question.
Well, we usually ask questions here, Mr. West, but in this case, I'll let you ask a question.
Don't you believe in second chances for people?
We do that all the time.
Really done anything?
We do that all the time.
I've never really done anything on the water my whole life.
I was actually about to note that in your defense, that you've been in the commercial industry now for about 20 years. And until this time, there was only one prior violation back in 2011, fishing without a saltwater license, recreationally. On the other hand, from my perspective, in the scales here, it's not like you didn't know that was a sanctuary. It's not like everybody didn't know that it's a sanctuary. And it's not like everybody doesn't know that sanctuaries are there for a reason. So that kind of sums up, I think, where you're at, huh? Mr. Zedrin.
You know, what kind of disposition did you get on the felony? What was the court sentenced you to what on the felony?
Didn't give us any. They dropped the felonies and just gave us the two misdemeanors.
No, I'm talking about on the car, the felony that you got convicted of.
Well, I went to prison.
Did you have any probation?
Yeah, I did my probation. I didn't do anything. I got off my probation. My probation officer even gave me a pat on the back and told me I did a good job.
And so you learned something from that probationary period, right?
Yes, sir.
And you learning that stealing wasn't the right way to go, right?
And then I got with the wrong person and went somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be.
Did you tell the captain there, hey, Ben, I can't get over here. I got a felony.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Didn't really matter. It was the only job I had. Couldn't get on with my other family members because they had already had somebody. And we were working in what they call the buffer zone. The buffer zone before you go to the sanctuary, and that's what we were thinking. We were working the buffer zone around the buffer zone, not in the sanctuary, but we got our heads down. As he goes in the sanctuary, we went no. But now that I've seen the videos and was told by the guards that we went in there, and then I've seen the videos. I just knew it wasn't the right spot because it was too pretty of a oysters. I knew we were in somewhere we weren't supposed to be.
Disposition of them or whatever?
No. You had a crewmate, basically. They did.
That's all right. We're good.
Great. Well, what's the will of the commission? Mr. Cimino, I think I need to have the staff recommendation read into the record.
Yes, sir. Staff recommendation is based on the matrix. Commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters or clams from a sanctuary within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission revoke all Mr. West's commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2017.
Mr. West, you just heard the staff recommendation. Do you have a response? Do you want anything to tell the board?
I mean, I know,
I'll give you another shot.
I know I've done wrong. I just think that punishment doesn't fit somebody that has never messed up. I mean, probation, or you can put me on indefinite probation. Just, I'm not going to mess up anymore because I'm not going with the people that like to mess up anymore. And I know it's not just on them, it's on me too. I put my foot in the boat. I made the mistake. But I think I've already been punished enough. Probation would be the best outcome for me because, like I said, I'm the only one that supports my family. If I lose my license, then I'm not going to have anything. So I'm asking the board, please take mercy and just give me probation. I don't care if it's indefinite.
Mr. Zedra.
Did this incident where your wife got injured, did that happen after this?
Yes.
It did?
Yeah, that reminds a lot. She's here today.
I see.
I wanted to call her up here, but she's been having a lot of dizziness over the last couple days. So I'm not going to get her to come up here. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I mean, I just think the punishment doesn't fit what it is.
Mission operates on motions.
I got a comment.
Yes, Mr. Zedron.
I don't like people stealing, okay?
Yes,
I can tell you that. But I've been a judge for a long time, and I do believe in giving somebody an opportunity. I'm not too good when you come back in your on a revocation, though, I can tell you that. I'm a max kind of guy, okay? And I think you're looking at life a little different today than you were the other day when you were in the boat. Maybe you got a real need now, your family really needs you. And I think what I'm all about is make sure that you're going to be back in here and that you comply with the rules and that. And I think maybe you're in a position now that you may realize that. And is he within our new statutory?
For the 5 years, yes. The 5 year max, yeah.
Yes, right. I would be inclined, from my opinion, to not go along with staff recommendation, but give you a 5 year probation and maybe a $5,000 fine suspended, condition on.
Can't do
that.
Can't do the civil penalty, but you can do the.
All right, we can do the 5 year
probation. 5 year probation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. We've got some new rules, and I'm not really familiar with all the new rules, but I'm about giving you a chance. And so I would make a motion at the appropriate time to not follow staff recommendation and put you on 5 years of probation. You think that's fair?
Yes, sir.
I guess my comment. I guess I'm disagreeing, not with you. I disagree with him. I think a 1 year revocation is an appropriate penalty for stealing oysters from the sanctuary. And that's typically what we would do. In your favor, you don't have this long list that we're used to seeing. I'm agreeing with Commissioner Bull with that. And I would support your motion when you make it to do that, hoping never to see you again, because this is. I don't think it's a second chance. I think it's more than that, or whatever, to keep his life straight. He seems to have a good attitude, and I've got to kind of read people. I hope we're reading him right. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, if not, he'll be back. Yeah. We have long memories.
No more back for me, sir.
Mr. France.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with the judge. I think, you know, anybody that works on the water for 20 years and has a clean record should count for something. And, you know, if the motion is made, I would agree with that.
Mr. Ballard.
I'm largely in agreement, too, but would just like to echo everyone's thoughts about the seriousness of this violation. And I feel like I would be in favor of a revocation if there was so much as one missing mandatory harvest report or the smallest offense possible on your record. So I guess I would just say here that it is a very, very serious violation. But I am in agreement with the consensus.
Mr. Tanker.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different. I can't get out of my mind the big sign there saying sanctuary, do not harvest. It's right there in front of you. You know, you might have gotten the wrong boat, but you didn't have to stay there. So I have a hard time with somebody who is willingly and knowingly circumventing or stealing from the state. You know, the oysters, we haven't had that long. You know, I remember when they used to say the oysters were extinct. We didn't have any to harvest, and then we've got people out here stealing them from our sanctuaries. I take it really seriously. So I wouldn't go. I'm going to stay with the recommendation of staff for myself.
Well, I can tell you how I feel about this, and I agree with all of you to some degree. But I'm also guided by a little bit from precedent. I agree with Mr. Tanker, and this is an oyster sanctuary. They're there for a reason. We have oysters in fairly good abundance now because of those types of sanctuaries and a number of other things. Mr. West full well knew it was a sanctuary. Mr. West had worked, I believe, with Mr. Hogg before he was the captain. This was not a unique thing here to have Mr. Hogg and some of his crew entangled up in things. That said, this particular case, those signs are large. Everyone knows this is a sanctuary. Yet, gotten a handout here on where the sanctuary is and where the openings are. It was an important violation. It was a very serious violation. The other gentleman that was on your vessel here that day, who was a helper, also received a revocation period, and it was not a probationary period. So, to my mind, there seems to be a bit of unfairness here that one of the crewmates gets a significant revocation period and Mr. West here gets a probationary period. So to that degree, that doesn't mesh in my brain. On the other hand, I do agree that a long leash of probation is necessary. I tell you, I would support somebody that put a motion up for 3, 4, 5, 6 months of revocation followed by 3 or 4 years of probation. And we treat Mr. West more leniently than his crewmate that we heard last month, but still put him on a long leash and make him prove that he's deserving of not getting a year revocation. That would be my kind of middle ground. But commission operates by motion, and 5 votes or get you wherever you want to go.
I have a question.
Mr. Neal.
That you brought up. His crewmate, what was his history? What was his conviction history?
He had some violations in the past, as I recall.
So I guess that would be a difference.
Yeah. I mean, they're not exactly the same. I mean, from my standpoint here, but they're not completely different.
You say something else.
Mr. Zener.
You know, if he'd been the captain of the boat, and I know he knew the captain, but I mean, if we believe him, that they thought he was going to be working the buffer zone, and then the captain goes in there, and of course, not much you could do. And I don't think he can get out of the boat. I mean, I wouldn't swim that far at the shore, and I don't know how cold the water is, but, you know, that's where I'm coming from. I would move that we give him a 30-day revocation with a 5-year probationary period.
I second that.
That'd be 4 years, 11 months.
Right. Okay, so that's a motion by Mr. Zedron for 1 month revocation, followed by 4 years and 11 months of probation. And that's a second by Mr. Minor. Okay, discussion on the motion?
Just
Mr. Neal.
Does that include the title fishing privileges? Or is it
includes everything.
So that's 1 month of revocation of licenses and title fishing privileges, followed by 4 years and 11 months of probation. The seconder is agreed. We all understand this. Okay. We all understand this. Any further discussion on this? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
The chair votes no as well, but the motion passes 5-2, if I counted correctly. So I would add a couple months more on revocation, but I'm not disagreeing with this decision. So you're revoked for a month. You're off the water for a month. No harvesting on the water, no helping on the water, nothing commercially on the water. After that, you got a really long probationary period. Mr. West, we do not want to see you back here.
I would just like to remind the staff here that he has waived his right to an appeal, so don't want him being given the standard appeal rights notice that we do when they go out of here.
Yeah, but I think we got to give it to him anyhow.
Okay.
You understand this? Okay. If you go with the officer there, Lieutenant Colonel will take you downstairs, give you the paperwork that explains your appeal rights. You've already, as part of your plea deal, said you're not going to contest this, but we got to do it, I think, just to dot the I's and cross the T's. 1 month revocation.
Yes, sir.
After that, yes. Don't want to see you back here. I hope that's true, Mr. West.
The rules require you to give that letter with the form.
That was my thought as well. Mr. John K. West. One second, sir. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Please state your name into the microphone, please.
My name is John Kennedy West.
Okay, Officer West, I assume there's no relation here?
No, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Same situation, Vince, on October 22nd. This was the third vessel. It was a cart harvesting inside the sanctuary. Video surveillance was done. Contact was made with them. I identified all the crew members on that boat that day. Mr. John K. West was one of them, VMRC number 3048. Just to add, this was probably, out of the three boats, they were the most cooperative vessel. We had a lot of feedback from the other boats, but this one was, you know, more cooperative than anyway. I just wanted to say that. Same thing with Mr. John K. West, charged with all the felonies, the two class sixes, both null prost in Middlesex County Court, found guilty of theft of oysters, clams, shells, and et cetera, class one misdemeanor, and the closure of the sanctuary, which was a $100 fine, and 90 days in jail, 90 days suspended, and 3 years probation. Pretty much the same deal that the crew members got. It went all the way around. Mr. John K. West was a crew member. The other individual that's up next was the captain, but very cooperative. Like I said, all plea agreements were pled down in Middlesex County General District Court.
Is that enough on the record?
Mm-hmm.
Are there questions from the commission?
What really made this crowd different than the other? What in your mind stands out to you, sir?
I didn't do the actual boarding, but I was involved with the contact at Carter's Creek when we obtained the oysters and had them planted. The other two officers aren't here, but knowing Mr. West and his son, we didn't get a lot of – there was a lot of feedback from the other two boats as far as some choice words that were exchanged maybe. This group did not give us any trouble. They did what we told them to do. They planted their oysters, and they went on their way. I actually contacted Mr. West by phone and had him return the oysters back so they could be planted on the sanctuary. And just like I said, very cooperative than the other two boats.
Thank you, sir.
There are other questions from the commission. Mr. West, please step up to the microphone. This is your chance. What do you want the commission to know?
Well, I was probably wrong. I was a whole bunch of boats there, and we went there with the boats there, and then when another officer come, I asked if we was in the wrong. He said we weren't in the wrong, and he said not right this minute, y'all not in the wrong, and I didn't know we was in the sanctuary, but I don't know how to read and write, and that's why I didn't know I was in the sanctuary or not.
Couldn't figure out the sign?
But you don't know how to read, how are you going to figure out the sign?
Okay. Mr. Zedra.
I see you have some commercial licenses, right?
Yeah.
And doesn't the staff talk about, they give you the regulations and that you understand? Did you do the video for the commercial licenses?
Yeah.
Did you understand what they were saying?
Some of that, yeah.
And are you telling this commission that you can't read at all?
Can't read at all, no.
How do you know what the fishing regulations are then?
Well, I know, because I've been doing this since I've been 13 years old. I started with my dad when I was 13 years old, when he passed away, and then I went on my own. And I've been doing this all ever since.
Well, how do you know? I mean, we're changing the rules here all the time based on the resource. I mean, how are you made aware of it?
I get papers. My wife reads them for me.
Is your wife back there in the pink sweater or whatever?
Yeah.
And would you come forward? You might be able to help us out here.
I noticed on your court disposition as well that you waived the right to appeal the decision of VMRC in reference to taking your license. Did you agree to do that? You know what I'm talking about? Let me read this. Go ahead.
In all the plea agreements, that was part of the stipulation of everyone's plea agreement, whether y'all enforce it or not, was in the plea against the commission. But, and going to the plea agreement, they would not challenge the plea.
What I'm asking him, does he understand that? Let me read this to you. In their disposition, it says, waives the right to appeal decision of the Virginia Marine Resources Commission regarding action BMRC may take regarding licensure of the defendant, being you. And that's in your plea agreement. Do you understand that?
I don't think so.
Do you know what it means? Did you have a lawyer?
Yeah, I had a lawyer, yeah. He told the plea, he wanted to make a plea bargain about it.
And he told you what the terms were, did he not?
Yeah, he said we can't go. What will y'all do? I don't know.
Well, let me ask you this. There's a plea agreement that's part of our packet, and let me look at who signed it. Kenneth West, would that be you?
Mm-hmm.
And would that be yes? Would that be yes?
Yeah.
Let me help out here. Mrs. West, I think that you can help. Yes. I need to swear you in if you're going to testify here. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, to help you God. Please state your name into the microphone for the record.
Go closer.
A little bit closer. We can't hear you.
When that was done, the lawyer that we have, I am the one that thought that was an okay thing because I did not want my husband to have any felonies or anything because we have two small children that we take care of. I didn't read it to him. I gave him advice. Our lawyer knows my husband. Just like Mr. West, they all know that my husband can't read or write, okay? He doesn't have any education. They were raised on the Big Island. This is all they've ever done. When he was small, he was in an accident and lost all memory of everything, had to redo everything, so he learned from watching other people. He's 51 years old. He's only had a few minor things. to anything, and on that paper, I will admit that I'm the one that signed it because he could not sign his name. And that they said that it was fine.
Did Mr. Sobrick, that was his lawyer, right?
Yes. Did he's always been the lawyer that I have always called upon if I have a question or anything.
Did he review the terms of this plea agreement with you and your husband?
Yes, and since John didn't fully understand, me and Mr. Sobrick did most of the talking and stuff, and I'm sure if anybody would like to speak to him, he will tell you the same.
I have no further questions.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankers?
But in the summary of the fence, it says something that goes along the lines of you stayed in and around the oyster sanctuary for the whole day. That's it. And that wasn't the case. And then it says the only time you strayed away from the sanctuary is when they saw the police boat coming towards you. When they noticed the police boat approaching, they moved well away from the sanctuary. So what made you move away when you saw the police boat?
We went in the sanctuary when the police boat came.
That's correct. They had been in the sanctuary that morning and harvested. And moved off the sanctuary, harvested. Would move back in, harvested. And then moved back off. When the police boat had came from upriver, that's when all three boats, they got away from there. Basically.
Okay.
Just wasn't them, it was everybody. Okay. Not like, let's go.
Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Cimino, what's the staff recommendation in this case?
Again, this recommendation is based on the guidelines. The commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters or clams from a sanctuary within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. In accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. West's commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2017.
Mr. and Mrs. West, you just heard the staff recommendation is to revoke your licenses and your tidal fishing privileges for a year. Would you like to discuss your thoughts about that with the commission?
I ask for you to please think of where he has not been in any trouble. Think of our family. We have two small children. He has been our only provider. I'm disabled, so I can't work. When it came to that video, I'm the one that did the video. I'm the one that told him about some of the things. You know, I'm the one that took it. I've always been the one that has had to read everything to him. And sometimes the words that are used are words that he wouldn't understand, so I would have to use my kind of words, even if it was wrong. I'm just asking for some leniency here, please, because if not, you know, I don't know how else our girls are going to have a roof over our head. I don't know how we will have food, because he has always been our provider. And I know and I believe in my husband that he will not commit anything that he is not supposed to be doing on the water ever again.
I got a question for her.
Mr. Zedrin.
You've heard me say this several times up here today, but we're all about compliance. And I'm concerned that he doesn't know what the rules are. And if you don't educate him, and we give him probation, he's going to be back in here the next day, because to him, if you got to know that it's wrong. And if you don't know that it's wrong, you're going to go ahead and do it. and then you're going to be back in here. So I'm about giving somebody a chance, but at the same time, I got to look at the resources and the other side that we hear from other watermen. Is, look, why are you so lenient with our resources and these people that don't comply? And so I'd ask you to address the fact, how are you going to educate him to know what to do, what is the law, so he doesn't come back in here?
Well, I believe that I need to have maybe something printed out instead of me reading it on the internet on y'all's site, so I can go over each thing with him, and perhaps the video, but if it is written, so I can do it in a different version. And I have already begun to talk with a private, what do you call her? She's like a tutor to help you learn some simple words. And that's supposed to start soon. And to try to help me help him. Because also, you know, I'm trying to teach a 7 and 8 year old how to read and how to do things. So I'm taking my time into 3 different people. And I've never had to teach an adult how to do something. And just his little, I call it chicken scratch as his name, he didn't even know that before he met me. But I believed in him, and I told him he could do it. And so some people might not understand what he writes when it comes to his name, but I do. And it makes me proud that I was able to teach him that. So I know if I work with him, you know, just a little bit longer and get this other teacher, she's a retired teacher, and if I get her to help me find a way how it helps him to better understand, I believe he will fully know what he's supposed to be doing.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission? We've heard the staff recommendation. What's the will of the commission? Mr. Zedrin.
I guess it's a good day for these guys on the other side of the fence today, as far as I'm concerned, I guess. I'm going to make the same motion I did in the last one. I think that he needs to have some kind of punishment to realize that what he did was wrong. Here again, I don't mind giving you a chance, but at the same time, if you come back before me while I'm on this commission, I'm going to throw the book at you, you know? And so I'm going to, at the appropriate time, after comments by everybody else, I would be moving to come up with a move for a 30-day revocation with a 5-year probation. Can we do that?
Can we get a total of 5 years?
Total 11 months, or whatever.
Mr. France.
Yes, I have a question for the officer.
Yes, sir.
Was Mr. West the captain of the boat?
No, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Tankard.
You know, I would say, Ms. West, you do a very nice job of representing your husband. You're very well spoken. One of the things I take into consideration here, 2 things. One, Mr. West seems to be a hardworking individual. Our state needs more of those. Number two, he's not the captain. He's a member of the crew, so in this case, he couldn't read the sign to tell that they were in the wrong place. So he was leaning on the captain to get him in the right spot. I have a difference of opinion with Mr. West compared to the gentleman we just saw. I'd motion for, if it came to it, I'd motion just for a 2-year probationary period at this time. It seems to me that Mr. West is a little bit different than some of the people we've seen here before.
Well, I'll say that I don't disagree with the sentiments that have been expressed by both of you gentlemen, but both Mr. Cedron and Mr. Tankard here, but, and my but is, this is a sanctuary.
Yes.
Watermen know where sanctuaries are. Knowing that there are signs and placards there and where you are in the water is a waterman's business, and a waterman who's been a waterman for a while knows where he should and ought to be. So to that point here, I would not have a problem deviating downward from the staff recommendation, but I think that a violation of the sanctuary is serious, And even with Mrs. West's excellent defense, I still think that some revocation time is warranted. That's just my own personal opinion, and also in keeping with the previous cases involving this plundering of the sanctuary with a whole host of defendants in this. So that's my two cents. Mr. Ballard?
I tend to agree with your sentiment. I have a hard time having an oyster theft from a sanctuary without any kind of revocation whatsoever. And I stated on the last case that if there was any kind of a history whatsoever, that I would be in more favor of a revocation. And while not a major history, there is a little bit of a history here. And I have to believe through that process there would be some education of the Marine Resources Regulations. I'm in favor of a 30-day revocation with the 5-year probationary period.
Mr. Cedra?
I move to not follow the staff recommendation, but recommend that we suspend, revoke his license, all his title privileges, for a period of 30 days, and then the rest of the 5 years on probation.
It's motion by Mr. Zetron for 1 month revocation period, followed by 4 years and 11 months of probation. Is there a second?
It's 4 years, isn't it?
4 years.
He said 4 years.
Yeah. Is there a second?
Second.
He was not a
second. Second by Mr. Ballard. Any further discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes no from my previous stated reason that a month wasn't quite enough from my perspective for an oyster sanctuary violation. But the motion passes 6-1, 5-1. And it is a month of revocation and no fishing on the water, no participating with on-water commercial fishing for a month. And then after that, you're on probation for 4 years and 11 months. Probation means if you have any kind of violation in commercial fishing or not filing your harvest reports on time, you'll be back here. And if you're back here, I'd be willing to bet that you're not going to like the outcome if you come back again, Mr. West. This is West. You did a very good job. Thank you. I appreciate your assistance here. If you go with the officer, he'll hand you a slip of paper here that reads you your appeal rights, and you can, you know, file an appeal if you so wish. Even though that you agreed in the plea agreement not to appeal the commission's decision, but we have to give you the appeal rights anyhow. Thank you very much. Mr. John M. West. Mr. West, please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record into the microphone.
John Matthew West.
Officer West?
Yes,
no relation, I assume?
No, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Basically, same thing, October 22nd. This was the third vessel that was caught harvesting the sanctuary on video. Had observed them all morning. Made contact that afternoon. Mr. West was the captain of the boat. Like I said, he was one of the more cooperative vessels out of the three that were there, the crew and the captain included. We charged him with the Class 6 felonies, which were null prost, both of them, the harvesting of oysters and the scrape. Unauthorized area was null prost as part of a plea agreement. Oyster dredging equipment on the boat, same thing, null prost as part of the plea agreement. He was found guilty of theft of oysters, clams, shells, etc. Basically, a $500 fine, $300 paid to the Oyster Replenishment Fund. Mr. West did serve some jail time for the violations. He was put on 5 years probation for good behavior, and the closure of the sanctuary was a Class 3 misdemeanor that he was charged with. Like I said, one of the more cooperative vessels, captain as well, as we boarded him and got all the information. And the oysters will return to the sanctuary.
Are there questions of Officer West? I just want to make sure it's clarified here that Mr. West was the captain of the vessel this
day.
All right.
Yeah, so you say he, being Mr. West here in front of us, piloted the boat away from the sanctuary when he saw the police boat coming.
He would have been the captain.
Okay.
Any other questions of Officer West? All right, Mr. West, you've heard others. This is your time. This is your chance. What do you want us to know?
Well, I know it was in the wrong to, you know, have resources in the sanctuary, but I don't know why I went there. I guess because the other boats was there. And, I'm sorry for what I've done. I think I'd, you know, done enough of punishment for, you know, for being getting doing it for one time. I mean, I pulled 8 weekends in jail, $800 fine, and on probation for 5 years, and no good behavior 5 years, and on probation for a year, where I see a probation officer every month. And I mean, I hope y'all taking consideration, you know, let me keep my license. I mean, I got 3 kids, a single father. I mean, I'm sorry for what I did. And the reason I took I didn't want the felonies on me because I do stuff in the schools with my kids. That's the reason, you know, I pulled the jail time, you know, so I won't be a convicted felony.
Mr. Cedron,
do you have your captain's license? Your Coast Guard six-pack license.
No.
Did you know that Mr. John K. West couldn't read or write?
Yeah. This is my father.
That's your father?
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking about when you went past that sanctuary sign which says danger, no, you know, oyster sanctuary? What was in your mind when you passed that sign?
I can't tell you. I mean, I can't really say. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why I did it. I mean, I guess because the other boats was there.
But why would you do that to your dad?
I mean, people make mistakes. I mean, I know. I mean, he wasn't the only one on there. I mean, my cousin was on there with me. I mean.
But you're the captain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and how long have you been on the water?
Well, I started back when I was 14 on the weekends with my daddy, you know, when I was, you know, because I had school during the week, you know, during the week. I done it the weekends, and I think I was like 15 or 16, I dropped out of school, and then I went most, you know, basically on the water from then on.
How old are you now?
31. And I ain't had, you know, I think over one or two tickets in my whole life, you know, been on the water.
That's correct.
I don't drive here every day, you know, try to break the law. I mean, and the last ticket I had, I think it was like 4 years ago. And that was for having an oyster, you know, not having an oyster tail, because I spoke to one, you know, Marine police, and he said that you could take the basket, the orange basket, cut the bottom out of them, stick them in the bag, put the oysters in there, they love them, you know, for like a bushel, and pull the bag up. And then the other one I talked to said you had to have the tub, so that's the only reason I didn't, you know, got that ticket.
Did your dad know that you had taken him into the sanctuary?
Well, I guess after we got, you know, the Marine police come aboard us, I mean, at the time when he come aboard us, he told me, you know, he checked the commercial license, all three of us. Well, my cousin, he didn't have a commercial license, but he checked mine and my father's commercial license, and he told me, you know, y'all go back to work. At the time, because I didn't have like, I think it was like 12 bushel oyster at the time. So I went on and off, and I, you know, began to dredge again and catch. I caught the rest of them, the 16 bushels, and I went in. And then I went on, after we went in, I loaded the oyster on the truck, went to my house, because I live like, I don't know, like 20 minutes, 25 minutes from where we had the boat at. And then Jamie Green called me and told me that we had to bring the oysters back. And he said for me to wait until Patrick West called me. So then Patrick called, and then that's when we went back to the creek, put oyster on the boat, and took him back to sanctuary. I mean, we had 16 at the time, that time, but when he come aboard us, I think it was like 12 bushel.
that's the part they were cooperative with, getting the oysters back and make sure they got returned to the sanctuary. And like I said, they were in Gloucester, I think, at the point I made contact with them.
Okay, no further questions. Thank you.
Anyone else with questions? Mr. Cimino, the staff recommendation in this case is, please fill in the blank.
Again, this is based on the guidelines for sanctions that specify one conviction of harvesting oysters or clams from a sanctuary within a 12-month period should result in at least a one-year revocation. So in accordance with 28.2-232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission revoke all Mr. West's commission-issued licenses for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2017. Staff also recommends the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. West's licenses during this revocation period. Staff recommends the commission revoke Mr. West's fishing privileges within the Commonwealth's tidal waters for a period of 1 year from the date of this commission meeting, November 1st, 2016, through October 31st, 2017.
Mr. West, you just heard the staff recommendation that your licenses and tidal fishing privileges be revoked for a year. Do you have a reaction or something you want to tell the commission?
Yeah, I hope y'all would give me a second chance. I mean, I don't go out here every day, you know, to break the law or, you know, I've been underwater. I don't know how long it's been, but I just, you know, hoping y'all would give me a second chance. I mean, to prove to y'all that, you know, I'm not going, you know, to go out here and break the law.
Thank you, Mr. West. Commission operates on a motion. What is the will of the commission?
Any comment?
Mr. Zedra.
I think his case is different than the other cases. The captain of the ship is the captain of the ship. And why I see this as a real major thing is Mr. West here knows his dad can't read and write. And yet he takes advantage of it. And you know, he puts him in this predicament where he's might have lost his license. If we follow staff recommendation, it would have taken his license for 12 months. It's just different because the other two really had to ride the boat, and he drove the boat. And the biggest problem I got is what he did to his dad. That to me is a lot different than what everybody else. And so, you know, I'm leaning towards staff recommendation on this one.
Mr. Ballard.
I'll agree with his final sentiment, but with the exception of I think the offense on its own is severe enough. I do think it's different that he's a captain. And at the end of the day, we have a sanctuary to restore oysters, just an incredibly valuable species and keystone species. The sanctuaries are there for a reason. A lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of taxpayer dollars have been put to create those sanctuaries. And I hold the captains accountable to a much higher standard. And I'm in favor of staff recommendation.
Mr. France?
Yes, I'm in agreement. I think, you know, the captain is responsible for his crew and their peril. And in this situation, you know, he's the one that guided the boat where it wasn't supposed to go. And I would be intend to agree with staff recommendations also.
Any other discussion or comments? Yeah. Mrs. West, do you have a stake in this?
He's my stepson.
Okay. Make a brief and to the point, please.
He is basically a single dad. I know he was done wrong. I don't condone any of things that, you know, of going near and by that pole, but I do stick by him. And I know that he won't get in trouble, I'm sure, while I was down there with my husband. I see his report, you know, of stuff, and he really hasn't ever gotten into trouble. And he's got two kids. One that seems like a every time you turn around, it's being took to the hospital. He takes care of a third that even a judge says that he didn't have to pay child support to, but looked at the judge and said he will because he has done it since the child was born. And the judge said that they have never seen a father step up like that and give money for a child when they're telling them that they don't have to. And I know, because since all this has happened, my stepson has told me many a times that he is sorry, that he feels bad about all this. And I know, just with my husband as well, I know in my heart, if you guys show a little bit of leniency, that he will never have that vote anywhere near things that he's supposed to be. Because I also have, you know, half owned everything that they did. So I know.
Thank you, Mrs. West. Mr. Zedron.
What's your opinion? I don't know if you were in here when I was asking him some questions or not, but I'd ask Mr. West, your stepson, did he know that his father couldn't read and write? And he said, yeah, I knew that. And he also said, I said, then why did you take him into a sanctuary where he didn't know where he's at? Now, what do you think of him doing that to your husband?
When I found out, I was angry, but after listening to both of them and listening to other people, realizing that, you know, that is kind of a tight space in there. I know, I believe it's supposed to be 100 feet from the upper thing or whatever you call it, and every time I looked, I saw them trying to stay away, but then there was like one point that I saw a boat kind of make them go in. And usually when John Matthew tells me, you know, that things happen and stuff, we always try to work it out as a family and try to see where things go wrong. And he has said over and over, all he thought about was his dad, and I'm so sorry.
That's another reason why I said, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I didn't know if he didn't know how to read or write, because, you know, he's been my daddy for 31 years. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie about it. I mean, I ain't going to sit here and lie that I didn't go in the sanctuary. I ain't going to come here to lie about it. I mean, I could have told you, yeah, I didn't know he didn't know how to read and write, but, you know.
If you take his license, then all of them would be stuck on me, and I can't. Obviously, we can't afford that.
I mean, he don't have no license. He can't get to work. I mean, because he don't can't go down the saga.
He doesn't have a driver's license. He can't go with it. All.
I mean, I knew I was captain. I knew I, you know, was in the wrong. That's why I said I'm sorry, but, you know. One time, I mean, I don't go out here every day and get in trouble. And I'm on a 5 years good behavior if I mess up. And then I'm on a year probation. I mean, if I mess up within the year, then.
He's had hefty fines, and I make sure that.
And I got, all together, I got paid $1,600 fine. I mean, I got to pay that every month.
Make sure all that's done for him and his dad. You know, making sure that everything is there on the day when everything has to be done.
I mean, if they take my license, how they supposed to get the money for, you know, the OSHA punishment or whatever? I mean, take my license, I don't have any job. I don't know how long it takes to get a job. And I got, you know, three kids. And I got, you know, I pay child support almost $400 a month. But I didn't have to pay, but I agreed to it. The judge shook my hand that day. She said, I wish I see, you know, more fathers like you that came in here.
Like I said with my husband, I believe in my stepson, too. I believe they weren't out there on multiple days doing this. This so happens that they were caught along with following other people, I guess. I mean, I believe in him as well.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. West. We've heard the testimony here. We've heard the staff recommendation. What's the will of the commission? Commission operates on motions. Mr. Zeidner.
I move that we accept staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. So it's a staff recommendation. It's a motion and a second to revoke Mr. West's licenses and fishing privileges for 1 year effective today. Any discussion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you for your assistance, Mrs. West.